no deal at North Korea summit.
Sometimes you have to walk.
President pans ex-attorney's testimony.
He lied a lot, but he said no collusion.
Floodwaters surge into California homes.
Never have I seen it like this. It's scary.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan.
And I'm Stephen Portnoy in Hanoi, Vietnam. The two-day summit that the president held here with the North Korean dictator ended overnight, and Mr. Trump headed back for Washington empty-handed.
We decided that we had to walk, and we'll see what happens.
Mr. Trump wrapped the summit with Kim Jong-un hours earlier than expected, a joint agreement which the White House press office said would be signed never materialized.
Basically, they wanted the sanctions lifted in their entirety, and we couldn't do that.
The summit featured extraordinary exchanges between the North Korean dictator and the American press. Kim was asked by one journalist if he's ready to denuclearize.
If I'm not willing to do that, I won't be here right now.
That's a good answer.
The president left this summit with little to show for it, though he and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo insist the talks with North Korea are further along than they've been to date.
We made real progress.
CBS's Ben Tracy is with us here in Hanoi.
All along, the skeptics have said that North Korea is really just playing for time here, that they're not serious about denuclearization, that what they really want is just to be accepted as a nuclear power. And so Kim Jong-un has now been normalized to an extent by meeting with the President of the United States twice. So he might be playing a long game here. He might have come into this summit asking for full sanctions relief, knowing full well that wasn't going to happen.
At his post-summit news conference, the president raised eyebrows in an answer to a question about Otto Warmbier, the American student who died after spending more than a year in North Korean custody. Mr. Trump said he raised the matter with Kim Jong-un and takes the dictator at his word.
I don't believe he knew about it.
The remarks echoed what the president has said about the Saudi leadership's involvement in the death of writer Jamal Khashoggi. Steve?
Well, President Trump says he saw some, but not all, of his former attorney Michael Cohen's congressional testimony. He called it a fake hearing.
It was very interesting because he didn't lie about one thing. He said no collusion with the Russian hoax. And I said, I wonder why he didn't just lie about that, too, like he did about everything else.
CBS's Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill.
I believe he told the truth.
House Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings presided over the nearly seven-hour hearing and said Michael Cohen left them with plenty of leads to follow up on.
Based on what you heard, do you believe that the president committed a crime while in office?
It appears that he did.
The committee's top Republican disagreed.
Michael Cohen can't be trusted.
Republicans noted Cohen is a convicted felon.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Cohen was emotional at times as he outlined his role in various shady dealings over the course of more than 10 years.
I blindly followed his demands. My loyalty to Mr. Trump has cost me everything.
A Florida congressman who attacked Cohen on Twitter is now under investigation by the state bar. CBS's Peter King joins us live from Orlando.
Steve, that tweet by Republican Matt Gaetz mentioned Cohen's wife and father-in-law and asked if they, quote, know about your girlfriends. Cohen's attorney saw that as a threat. Florida bar spokeswoman says all complaints are investigated. Gaetz represents the panhandle. He's one of the president's strongest supporters here. He was in the hearing room yesterday. Says he's apologized to Cohen. He also says he didn't intend for his tweet to be a threat, just to, quote, create context. Steve?
Well, the House has passed the first major gun control bill in 25 years. It requires federal background checks on all gun sales and transfers. Prospects for it are dim in the Senate. Some 2,000 homes have taken on floodwater in Northern California. CBS's Meg Oliver says along the Russian River, a bad situation is getting worse.
The only way in and out of Guerneville is by kayak or canoe. The small town was inundated after the Russian River overflowed its banks. Laura Duplessis' house is raised, but her basement and yard are completely underwater.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
No.
More than two dozen towns along a 25-mile stretch of the river were evacuated. Along with Guerneville, Monte Rio is also essentially an island, and nearly 100 roads in Sonoma County are closed.
In the south, flooding caused a landslide on an interstate near Nashville. It could be closed for weeks. Nearly 1,000 homes are flooded in Knoxville, and officials fear record flooding in the Mississippi Delta. The Governor's Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports more than 6,200 pedestrians died on the nation's roads last year. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert says that's the most since 1990.
There's been a steady rise in pedestrian deaths over the last decade. That coincides with a growth of smartphones. Other issues include poor infrastructure, impairment, and the growth of SUVs, which strike pedestrians closer to the head.
A day after Michael Jackson's family blasted an HBO documentary alleging he sexually abused two men when they were boys, one of the accusers, James Safechuck, tells CBS's Gail King, at the time, he didn't think what was happening was wrong.
It's in the context of a loving, close relationship. There's no alarm bells going off in your head or any thoughts like that. Really, it's just, I love this person and we're trying to make each other happy.
An outcry is growing on social media, and there's a petition drive urging Walmart to reconsider its plan to give physical duties to the greeters who are familiar to shoppers who enter stores all over the country. Many are elderly or are people with disabilities, and they'll have to be let go. Jim Melman's son, Jay, has cerebral palsy and works at a Walmart in Marion, North Carolina.
All they have to do is make accommodations for it. That's all.
Shoppers at the store say it would be a shame if Jay lost his job.
He's everybody's buddy.
And he's got a smile that'll go from here to California.
One 81-year-old woman who works as a greeter in Florida says she needs the job to pay for medicine, and it's like she's being thrown to the wolves. Well, last week, the Illinois Lottery installed new terminals in stores where tickets are sold. Problem was, a glitch gave players who validated tickets too much money. Randy Wesselhoff runs a Chicago liquor store.
Utter surprise. They thought I had $4. We gave them $150.
The issue has been fixed, and stores like his that lost money can get a reimbursement from the Illinois Lottery. Congress has heard from transgender service members who face an administration determined to stop people like them from enlisting in the future. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The transgender ban is still blocked by lawsuits, but transgender service members were invited to testify about their experiences. Some lawmakers argue the ban would cost the military recruits at a time when few Americans are willing to serve. Military chiefs have testified they've had no problems with transgender troops in regards to morale or unit cohesion. One transgender Army captain testified she became a more effective soldier after transitioning from male to female.
Well, Pakistan says it intends to release a captured Indian military pilot, what it calls a peace gesture. Two Indian warplanes were shot down by Pakistan over the disputed region of Kashmir. There have been exchanges of fire on the ground, too. And that's the World News Roundup for Thursday. For Stephen Portnoy in Vietnam, I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.